Hello once again and welcome back to the Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. In the studio this afternoon to discuss pain management and is Dr. Charles Argoff. Dr. Argoff earned his Doctor of Medicine degree from Northwestern University in Chicago. He completed his residency in neurology at Stony Brook University right here in New York State. He's certified by the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology in Pain Management, and neurology is the co-author of Defeat Chronic Pain Now, Groundbreaking Strategies for Eliminating the Pain of Arthritis, Back and Neck Conditions, Migraines, Diabetic Neuropathy, and Chronic Illness, published in 2010 by Fair Winds Press. Dr. Argoff is director of Albany Medical Center's Pain Management Program. He also specializes in the treatment of chronic headaches. Dr. Argoff, welcome to the Vox Pop.
Thank you, Alan. How are you today?
Well, all right. It's been a tough day, a long day, but a wonderful day. To be part of today's conversation, 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You got pain, and a lot of people do. We got Dr. Argoff. So be with us as we count down, and we'll take your phone calls as soon as they come in, 1-800-348-2551. So, Doc, we got one person on the line. When we have a couple more, we'll go right to it. But I wanted to ask you something. What's new in pain management? There's a small, simple question for you.
I think what's new in pain management is there are a lot of new and exciting discoveries in the science of pain. And I think what's really new is an understanding that we have to learn how to combine therapies to maximize benefit.
For example?
Well, for example, that there's pain management is not like having an infection, a strep throat, for which you think an antibiotic is going to be the best choice for 10 days and you're done and the infection's gone. I think we've learned that because chronic pain represents changes within your nervous system, those changes may not go away. And so we're likely to have to learn how to live with that pain as opposed to be cured. And we have to learn how to combine therapies that are currently available. So medical therapies, non-medical therapies, you know, complementary therapies, not just one or the other. What really disturbs me, not that you asked me what disturbs me, but what disturbs me.
Yeah, what disturbs you?
Thank you. What disturbs me is when we see people treated with just one approach. Mm-hmm. And we know the most startling data from our research is that combinations of approaches are likely to help. So look at heart disease. Bypass surgery works best when it's followed with nutrition and exercise as well, as opposed to one or the other.
So I've been to your establishment, your fine establishment, the Albany Medical Center, and, you know, I've had chronic back pain, and I've gotten the injections, and they certainly help for a while anyway. That's one of the therapies that's offered.
Right. And in 2007, I was one of four authors who published guidelines in the journal, it's called Neurology, about epidural steroid injections. And we said exactly what your experience is, that you can expect to experience temporary relief, but significant temporary relief when those injections are performed. But that's sort of why we want to make sure people understand that they may have to participate in an exercise program, that they may have to change the way they sit, change their workstation, participate in the treatment.
I've recently discovered that changing the way you walk. I mean, I'm a fast walker, and I could walk 5 miles without feeling anything. But if I amble and let my body sort of just whatever is back there, it starts to hurt. So that's the kind of thing you're talking about, right?
Exactly. And we didn't rehearse this.
No, we did not.
No. So you're hitting right on that. Right. Exactly what I'm trying to say.
1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Abby in Adams, Massachusetts. Abby, you're on.
Hello, doctor. I'm suffering from Waldenstrom's, WM, and as a result, it is kind of chewing on the sheaths of my nerves, and it keeps getting worse and worse. I'm a patient that's in watchful waiting, which is appropriate considering how slow the cancer itself is moving, but the protein is right up there. And I was wondering if you had any suggestions for physical therapy or anything like that that could help.
Okay, we'll give a chance. Go ahead, Doc.
So Waldenstrom's macroglobulinemia is...
Yeah, I'm glad you pronounced it because I can't.
it is, for those of you who may not know, an autoimmune disorder that can affect many different areas of the body and also result in neuropathy, which appears to be what you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So
and the neuropathy, doctors, for whatever it's worth, for all the rest of us, is something that you feel either in your toes or your hands, could be anywhere. Sometimes you have no feeling at all.
Right. And neuropathy literally means that the nerves in your hands and your legs and different other body parts aren't working right. They're not conducting electricity properly. And so that can lead to painful symptoms, or sometimes loss of sensation, or a combination of things. So I think you asked me if you should go to physical therapy.
Yeah, what type of physical therapy would you recommend? I mean, I used to walk a lot. Now I'm lucky if I can get a mile in
What happens when you walk that mile or half mile?
During and after, I get so that I feel nothing except pain in my feet and my hands. I have that tight band feeling around the ankles and around the hands. And in the feet, it goes all the way up to the knee at this point. It's progressed.
Are you under the care of a specific physician or pain management specialist or neurologist?
Yeah, hematology. Oncologist right
now. So I don't want to appear self-serving, but I think you should be under the care of a neurologist as well to address the type of neuropathy that you have and to try to establish medically what is going on with your nerves right now.
Well, they've done that.
Okay.
And they to the point where they found out exactly what it was. They're not in a guessing situation right now. And I do have a neurologist. However, they're not quite sure what to send me to for physical therapy. Occupational therapy I desperately need because my sister has to zip my zippers, button my buttons. It's very embarrassing.
Things
like, and my stability, physical stability is off because of the feet. So I'll just kind of look like I'm drunk for about 10 seconds and then I'm fine again.
Okay, so there are certain limitations that physical therapy that you need to know about. It can't replace the injury to the nerves from the condition.
All right.
But what you can, just very generally, since I don't know all your specifics, but you can ask for a qualified physical therapist, and there are many around, fortunately.
Okay.
They can help you become less sensitive to the discomfort. They can do what's called desensitization techniques to help you become more able to endure more and more activity. So in baby steps, so to speak, help you to use different approaches to desensitize the discomfort due to your neuropathy. They can also point out how you can overcome, to the extent that it's possible, the difficulty with balance and coordination that you suggest due to your neuropathy, but it's an ongoing process, and I really wish you the best.
Thank you. Just one last thing, if I may. I've been to physical therapists. They put weights on my legs, and it makes everything worse. What type of I think physical therapist is what I meant. What type of physical therapist do I need, and do you know of any over here in Massachusetts?
Okay, I don't know any in Massachusetts, I'm sorry to say, but I do know that what you should be asking for in general terms is, do you perform sensory desensitization techniques?
Okay.
And as you might imagine, you're trying to desensitize the discomfort that's caused by the abnormal nerves.
Abby, sure. I wish we could go on longer, but we've got a lot of people.
Thank you very, very
Thanks
much.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can imagine, a lot of people have pain. Let's go to Walt in Ballston Spa. Okay, Walt, you're on.
Hi, folks. I'm 63, just turned 63, had a bout of shingles early in January in the right arm. It affected the small three fingers of the hand and went up basically to the shoulder. About two quadrants of the circumference. And I'm still having some pain. I'm wondering, it seems like a whole batch of folks are getting shingles nowadays, and I'm wondering if there's something that can be done with regard to the nerve sensations.
Well, thank you very, very much for your question. So the answer to your question is that it's not uncommon for people after shingles, which is the an outbreak that can occur for most of us have been exposed to the chickenpox virus.
Right.
And that virus, after we experience chickenpox, usually earlier in life, can remain dormant, inactive in different components of our nervous system until it gets reactivated later in adulthood usually. Usually as you get older, and you're not old, but as you get older, toward your 60s and 70s, it becomes more likely to occur. When it gets, did you have a rash, Walt?
I did. I initially thought that it was a reaction to wearing a wool sweater, so I caught it kind
of
late.
So the rash is an expression of the reactivation of the chickenpox virus, herpes zoster.
Right.
So that could be very painful. What you're experiencing now is the beginnings of something called post-herpetic neuralgia or post-shingles-related pain. There are currently several specifically FDA-approved medications for the treatment of that condition. There's a vaccine to prevent shingles and reduce the likelihood of getting post-shingles or post-herpetic neuralgia. I don't know if you knew about that.
Yes.
Yeah, right. But there are many, many medical and even non-medical options that you could consider. Have you brought this up to your primary care physician or to someone else?
I have, and I'm trying to take some extra B12, and I understand that can help get the nerves settled down, as it were.
Right. I just published a review of this in January of 2012 in the journal called Postgraduate Medicine, and it reviews the medical treatments that are available for this condition, and among the ones that are FDA-approved include several medicines that are also used to control seizures, a topical medicine, and you really should ask your primary care doctor to consider referring you or considering some of those medications.
Okay. Hey, Walt, I wish we had more time. We don't. All five phones are ringing, and I appreciate your call very much. I'm sure you've helped a lot of people by asking that question. Again, thank you very much.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. We will be back. Kathy and Ed and Mike and Stephen, you stay right there.
Support for WAMC comes from Women's Health and Fitness Expo, Miller School, Kingston, New York, featuring Biggest Losers, Bernie Salazar, seminars, workshops, demos, and more, May 19th. Women'sHealthExpo.com, sponsored in part by MarkerTech.com. Edward Jones, Kingston, New York. Risa Conde, Edward Jones, financial advisor in Uptown Kingston, making sense of investing. 845-331-6293. Identity Eyewear, Albany, New York. Women-owned and operated with a combined 70 years of experience. Eye exams by appointment, 518-459-2638. St. Francis Hospital and Health Centers, Poughkeepsie, serving the healthcare needs of the community, including trauma and emergency care, wound healing, and hyperbaric medicine. sfhospital.org. And Ward's Nursery and Garden Center, Great Barrington, arriving daily, flowering shrubs, roses, perennials, pansies, and violas, ready for planting. wardsnursery.com.
And we are back, and thanks to all of you for your patience and for sticking with us. Let's go to Kathy in Liberty, New York. Okay, Kathy, you're on.
Hi. I'm calling about, I have peripheral neuropathy in both of my feet that involves numbness more than pain, but it did get, you know, gradually worse over the years. And I have been to neurologists some years ago and was told there really isn't anything you can do to improve the situation. And I just recently saw an ad for a new technology for peripheral neuropathy called the Rebuilder. Do you know anything about that?
Can I ask you, Kathy, what your peripheral neuropathy is caused by?
Diabetes.
Okay.
Although it started years before I was ever diagnosed with diabetes.
And that often happens, Kathy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, for your question, I am not aware of any proven therapy that can replace the sensation that's lost, that can make a numb foot less numb, for example.
Uh-huh.
So unfortunately, those are what we refer to in the medical world as negative symptoms. Instead, like pain is positive, it hurts. Numbness is negative because it's a loss of sensation that you feel.
Right.
And those are the trickiest and the most difficult ones to get past. And so honestly, I don't know of any proven therapy to help.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Kathy, thank you for your call.
Sorry about
the condition. Appreciate
That's
it.
That's okay.
Yeah, feel better.
Okay, let's go to Ed in New Hartford. Okay, Ed, you're on.
Hi, doctor. Talking about numbness in the foot, I have it. Sciatica I've had for about a month, and it's much improved, ex- except for a little bit of numbness in the left foot. And I, when I'm sleeping or sitting at times, I get pain in the lower calf. And it's not going away. I can walk. I can jog. No pain. But very strange situation. Only when I'm sitting or lying down, that pain will come out of the lower calf, and the numbness has not receded from the foot. Any ideas? Is this dangerous? Or?
Well, certainly I can't tell you over the phone without having, you know, formally evaluating you. I know that it would be wise for you to see your primary care physician and make sure that he or she knows about these symptoms. And it's important because there are other causes of numbness and pain other than nerve injury. For example, especially in the lower extremity, you could have a lack of blood supply or other reasons. And so it's very important that you see your regular doctor to be thoroughly evaluated so that the cause is as specifically determined as possible.
Well, okay. If it is sciatica, is it just typically something that'll continue to go away? Like I say, it's the pain is maybe one-tenth of what it was when this onset came on a month ago.
Well, that's certainly good news, but sciatica could be caused by many different things, including significant nerve injury, insignificant nerve injuries. So I hate to sound like a broken record, but it's important to get really well evaluated so we can answer those kinds of questions for you.
Thank you.
Hey, Ed, thanks a lot. Okay. And now you've got plenty of chances to get in. There are three free phones. We'll go to Mike in Glenville, 1-800-348-2551. Mike? Hey, Mike, are you there? Uh-oh. Michael?
Yes, can you hear me?
Sure, we can hear you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My father is at the very late stages of prostate bone cancer, and I was wondering, aside from the heavy narcotics, is there anything else that we could do for him that's going to help him, you know, in his last couple of months?
Where is your father being treated currently?
Sloan Kettering.
So Sloan Kettering has a very fine cancer pain-related, pain management center. Mm-hmm. And have they offered your father radiotherapy, radiation or...
Yeah,
or...
The last couple of radiations left him in such a bad state that they're to the point now that they're not going to do any further treatment with him.
So can you describe a little bit how your father's being treated currently?
Yeah, his last radiation was in the back of his skull,
mm-hmm.
and they did 2 weeks of straight, I guess it was 5 days a week, and it left him just very, very weak, put him back into the hospital for about a week to get his strength back. Then they tried a very low dose of chemotherapy, and I'm not sure what blend of it. And that also left him, in really terrible shape.
And for his pain, how is your father being treated for the pain?
He's being treated with, I think he's got Dilaudin. He's got...
Dilaudid, okay.
Yeah, and some other heavy narcotics is really all that he has for it.
Okay, so I have to just again say that since I've never met your father, I don't know if this is the right approach for him. So mm-hmm. please understand that.
Of course.
Okay, but sometimes, first of all, opioid therapies is the preferred medical term for narcotic.
Okay.
Because we're dealing with medications that can have significant benefit for people, and sometimes it's important to recognize that it's how they get into the nervous system where they work that can result in improvement without side effects or side effects and very little improvement. So what I'm really referring to is taken by mouth, sometimes you can't get enough medicine into somebody before to get enough relief before they have terrible side effects. An alternate route for someone in your father's position could be to consider intraspinal delivery of the same medicine or similar medicine, because when you take it by mouth, that's where it's basically going into the spinal fluid, bathing the spinal cord and brain.
Okay.
And so if you might imagine, by directly putting it in there, you need a lot less. And if you can imagine, that's what I'm telling you, so that you understand that you can get a lot more benefit with fewer side effects. So I'm sure the Sloan people are familiar with what's called intraspinal analgesic. Analgesic means pain-relieving therapies.
Okay.
And the beauty of that is that if it's the right thing for your father, it could result in much less pain with better side effects. In other words, less side effects, fewer side effects.
Yeah.
So we also certainly offer that at Albany Medical Center in case that's more convenient for your father.
Okay. Yeah, they're down on Long Island. So.
Oh, I used to live there.
Yeah. Oh, did you? Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Mike. Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate your call.
Thank you very much, Doctor and Doctor.
Actually, a very important telephone call, wasn't it? Okay. So let's go to Stephen in Kingston, New York. Stephen, you're on.
Hi. How are you?
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. My question concerns something, I guess, a lot less serious than most of these calls. It's like an injury rather than a condition. I was in a fairly serious car accident about 6 years ago, and while I was lucky to escape any real serious harm, I had some long-lasting and fairly serious pain in my knees for about a year after the accident. And then I didn't really think anything of it. I sort of assumed that it was to be expected after having an accident. And but then it went away, and for the past 3 or 4 years now. And now it's resurfaced in the past 6 months. And I'm on the verge of, you know, scheduling an appointment with my physician to check it out. But I'm just wondering if you had any thoughts or insights about that.
I do have thoughts, and they will come out. I think it's very important, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but the fact that your pain went away and then reoccurred, I would not jump into connecting the two, and I would start with a thorough evaluation of what is happening to you right now. It may be that it's connected to your past injury. It may be something separate. But I think it's always most important, especially if your pain had really diminished or gone away, to be reevaluated so that the best approach to your treatment can be considered.
I see. Yeah, I mean, I asked because it's not only has it resurfaced, it's exacerbated in the past 6 months.
Then I would definitely, if it's exacerbated, then I think you have to not assume that it's the same problem. It could be, but start working with your healthcare provider and try to get to the bottom of this.
Doctor, okay. In the old days, they used to say neurology was good for a diagnose and adios. But I take it that we've made some real advances.
Well, I think in pain management, as an example of a specialty, is comprised of multiple specialties, including neurology, anesthesiology, physical medicine, rehabilitation, various surgical specialties. So I think in general, you're right that we have made tremendous advances in neurology in general, not only in pain management, but in multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, stroke care, you name epilepsy. So we now so we can all work together now in multiple specialties to help people with those conditions.
Okay, let's go to Rebecca. Rebecca, you're in Greenwich, New York. Okay, Rebecca.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question kind of feeds into a lot of what I've been hearing you talk about today. I don't know what it is, but I think from what people have helped me self-diagnose, but it's probably sciatica, although it appears to be kind of tied into a lot of hip joint pain, and it sort of radiates down into my knees, and it's inhibiting me a lot with physical activity. And I'm going to go see my doctor. I have been to see him in the past and haven't really had much luck in getting the situation resolved. So can you tell me what would a comprehensive evaluation be like, or what should I expect to really start to get to the bottom of what's going on
here?
Well,
can you describe what your primary care physician has done in terms of assessing this in the past? Because a comprehensive assessment is not only a thorough history, meaning talking to you, but and because there are many conditions that can result in what you're feeling, but also examining you physical examination, both generally and from a neurological point of view for completeness sake, and then deciding if there are diagnostic tests. That in plain language means, do you need an X-ray? Do you need a CAT scan, MRI, blood work? Because joint pain could be is due to a sprain or a strain. It could be due to an autoimmune phenomenon, like one of the forms of one of the connective tissue disorders, like lupus or rheumatoid arthritis or other condition. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could be so many different things, Rebecca. So it's really that what's meant by a comprehensive assessment is really, delving into what is this and then addressing what can be done to help you.
Now, if Rebecca were to come down to Albany Med, for example, doctor, and you want all these specialists to get involved, how do you actually organize that?
I don't think you need all these specialists involved. You need someone to spend the time initially to do some screening.
I would agree with that, too. The primary care physician is he's a PA, and he works out of a small office, and I think in the past, it's funny you mention that because I did have a very bad sprain a while back. It was at my ankle, and I wasn't never really considered it might have affected some of this. But I think what he would do is he gave me a prescription for something, and then got some X-rays done. I got the X-rays done, and it was, well, yeah, it's not a horrible sprain, but it's a sprain. You know, do this, and this. But like I said, it's been a while, and there's really not a day that goes by when I don't wake up and it's joint pain, and it's pain in my lower back, and it radiates down to my knee, and it's only on the left side. And so I do want to, you know, really start figuring some things out. And does that mean just spending more time with my one doctor, or requesting to see a different kind of doctor?
So
or
let me say something blasphemous. Okay, the primary care doctor who you're seeing right now should recognize, ideally, when he or she has reached his or her limits, and should hopefully have the judgment to refer you on for more specialty care if you're not responding as well as he or she might expect to typical therapies. So in plain language, that means if you're not progressing in the right direction, then I think typically he might or she might want to get additional opinions.
Yeah, but what if they don't fit the categories you've just cited? What if they're not wise enough?
Then that's why, Rebecca, forgive me for interrupting. Sure,
of course.
Fortunately, we have to be our own advocates, and Rebecca might be able to ask her primary care doctor for a referral.
Well, if somebody wants to get into your pain management group, can they call without a referral?
Albany Medical Center's policy for consultations is to have a referring source.
That was my question. Can I ask him, can you please refer me to a neurologist?
Sure. And our number is 518-262-5226. I'm only trying to be helpful since you're asking, but there are other neurologists in the community
as well.
Give
us that number again.
518-262-5226.
Rebecca, we're going to let you go. And Doc,
okay, thank you so much.
Anything else, Doc?
No. Good luck, Rebecca. Okay. I hope I helped.
Thank you so much.
Let's go to Brian in Pittsfield. Brian in Pittsfield, you're on.
Hi, doctor. Thanks for taking the call. My question is, I recently went to my PCP, and he was looking at my hand. I get this popping in my hand when I do certain things. It just pops. And without palpating the hand or any kind of manipulation, said, oh, you've got arthritis. And dismissed it as that. And is this something I'm going to have to live with, or is there something else I can do for it?
I wish I could answer your question. I don't think the situation's been assessed adequately for me to comment.
Okay. All right. So.
Okay. Let me help you there, Brian. Doc, what would you do if you had such a patient?
Well, I think I would. I would, at the very least, consider X-raying the hand if that was a new finding.
Was your hand X-rayed, Brian?
No. This is a new PCP. I just recently moved to the area.
PCP, for those people who are listening, is not a drug. It's a primary care physician. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that to make a diagnosis of osteoarthritis, how old are you, Brian?
51.
So that's kind of on the young side. Although not, maybe not unheard of, but I think if your hand is bothering you enough to discuss it on today's show, and I'm glad you're calling, I think it deserves an evaluation other than just saying it looks like you have osteoarthritis. because that will help to – the reason for doing an evaluation, Brian, is that people, including your primary care physician, can understand how to best treat you. So that's – I would recommend – maybe you can ask the new primary care doctor who you're working with if there are further evaluations that he might consider to help you further.
What kind of an evaluation should I ask for?
I think at the very least, getting an X-ray of a painful extremity is important and may lead to other treatment, other evaluations. You might need to be seen by an orthopedist, et cetera. But you have to have someone guiding you through this process.
Okay, Brian, we're going to have to take a break. We thank you for your call. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Yep. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Adelphi University's Hudson Valley Center for Graduate Programs in Social Work and Undergraduate Nursing, relocated to the St. Francis Medical Arts Pavilion in Poughkeepsie, adelphi.edu/Hudson Valley. The Hudson Valley Heart Center, providing cardiovascular care throughout the Hudson Valley with services including nuclear, echo, CT angio, and vascular testing to help evaluate cardiovascular wellness, hvheartcenter.com. Schenectady Museum and Planetarium, science discovery demos about optical illusions on weekends at noon during the month of May. Planetarium shows weekends at 1, 2, and 3 p.m. SchenectadyMuseum.org. Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine, New York, providing eye exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, glaucoma management, and specialty contact lens fitting. 845-336-6310. And Snow Farm, Williamsburg, Massachusetts, a New England craft program offering creative arts workshops taught by master craftspeople for adults and teens, beginners and up. Snowfarm.org.
And we are back with our wonderful friend, 1-800-323-9262. I want to thank you all and for your wonderful calls today. And Dr. Charles R. Goff, who's a multiple disciplinary guy in pain management and a lot of calls because a lot of people have a lot of pain. Let's go to Susan in Utica, New York. Susan, you're on.
Yes, hello, Alan and Doctor. Thank you very much. I suffer from migraines. I've suffered from migraines my entire adult life, and I'm now 57. And I always get them in one side of my head, and I get them almost 6 or more days a month, so they're really a problem for me. And I vomit, I have diarrhea, and my head hurts, of course, and my nose runs in copious quantities. And I believe what causes them is changes in weather, like when a high-pressure system comes in is when I get them the worst. And one of my problems is my circumstances are such that I don't have health insurance. So one of my questions was, do you have any suggestions for somebody in my situation in terms of maybe clinical trial that I could participate in or something like that?
Well, I think a very good resource for you to start with are two resources for you to start. One is look at the National Headache Foundation website.
Okay.
There is a tremendous amount of high quality and evidence-based information on that website that may be very, very helpful to you to see non-medical and other medical approaches that might be helpful to you. Lifestyle changes, you know, food triggers, other triggers, things you can do more naturally if getting direct health care right now is difficult. The other thing to think about is go to the clinicaltrials.gov website, and that website, and if you there are ways to search for trials that may meet your specific needs, migraine headache, for example, and this way you can explore what's going on and what's available near where you live, or I guess if you're Utica, you're in between Syracuse and Rochester and Albany and other places that might be conducting clinical trials that you may be able to participate in.
So, Dr. Argoff, what's that website again?
One is the National Headache Foundation. Right. I don't know their exact address, but
Google it.
Google it, and then www.clinicaltrials, clinicaltrials.gov.
Okay, okay. And years ago, when I did have health insurance, I was working and I did have health insurance. My physician prescribed, I forgot the name of the drug now, but a triptan. And that did work for me. It was the first time in my life I found a medicine, and those medications are very expensive. So I thought, well, and that was why I was asking if maybe a clinical trial might be something.
Well,
that...
Let me please interrupt, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but I think I may be useful information for you. I mean, I guess your situation, unfortunately, in the United States is not unique to you, that too many people don't have health care insurance and wind up being in the situation that you're in, and I'm sorry for your situation as well as others.
Thank you.
But one thing you might be aware of is, and if you do have a physician who you could see, if you are an appropriate candidate, because triptans have certain side effects, and I don't know enough about you to say that you are.
Okay.
But if you are, many of the companies that make triptans do offer patient assistance programs to help you, people who may be in the circumstance that you're in, be able to use the medication if it's the right medication for you.
Okay. Okay. So you're saying I could ask my doctor if there might be some help for me.
That's right.
In that regard.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, thank you. That's good to know.
Susan, I'm going to let you go. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
And we're on with Portia of Leverett, Massachusetts. Portia.
Hello. I'm especially thankful for you taking my call because I'm actually calling about a dog, and I'm not asking you to be a veterinarian. This dog is in very good vet hands, but he and we are completely perplexed by a 13-year-old dog who has abundant life, who suddenly went from being able to run up and down and across the woods to first losing all motion and all strength in the front leg. They just buckled. And then the back legs. This is a dog that can no longer move. It took basically a morning for this to happen. Is there any? I'm not asking you to be a vet. I know that you're not. But we are at our wit's end. And this dog is beloved by many, lying on the porch in front of our house as I speak, and we don't know what to do with him. He eats. He puts his head up. He just looks as if he's totally baffled, and we are too. Is it possible that a tumor could have? If a tumor had grown on his spine, that it would have come on so suddenly. Is that kind of thing possible, or can you not compare between humans and adults?
So first,
humans and dogs.
Okay, first, I cannot answer any specific question, but if Dr. Chartok will allow me, can I tell you an anecdote very briefly?
Certainly.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
No. So one of my, I've had many dogs, I love dogs, and one of my most favorite animals I've ever had is a dog who is named a Cohansie, because we found him on the Cohansie River in New Jersey, sailing our boat.
Mm-hmm.
And Cohansie and I would run every morning, and Cohansie came back from a run one day, just one day, and started limping and stopped moving for the rest of his life. And Cohansie had a huge tumor sitting on his spine, pressing on nerve roots. And just coming back from running one day, literally overnight.
Wow.
And so I don't know what's going on with your dog, and I hope that's not the case, but I know that I've personally experienced something like that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And I hope that's not the situation, but still.
Well, it gives us something to think about, and I promise I won't call about another dog for a very long time.
But I love dogs.
So. Thank you.
And, Portia, remember we have that Pets and Vets program on a regular basis, and you're always
that.
Welcome to call them. Okay?
I know. Thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Portia.
Good doctor.
Yeah.
Bye.
Let's go to Harriet in, Harriet in Woodstock. Okay, Harriet, you're on.
Hello, and thank you for this program because it's so informative and interesting, and it's great that you do it. I have a question that may or may not be appropriate for this time or doctor, but I've always been curious about how things like Parkinson's and MS are distinguished and how they are diagnosed and what would be early symptoms of, say, MS. How do they look for these things? And I know also ALS in my area of Woodstock, appears to be, it's like an epidemic here of ALS. Every time you turn around, somebody has it. And I'm just wondering about early symptoms and how it's diagnosed. Is this the right doctor?
Well, I am a neurologist by training, but this is not the right focus of the program today. But I'll tell you very briefly why they're different. They're different because different parts of the nervous system are affected. In multiple sclerosis, the covering of the nerves called myelin are damaged by an immune-mediated process. And the myelin that's damaged is in your spinal cord or brain. That's different from Parkinson's disease, which is a disorder in which certain cells in your brain stem that produce a chemical called dopamine, which is responsible for regulating the movements that your muscles make, that whole process is degenerated and lost. And then ALS, which is amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, is a disorder of a different set of cells in the central nervous system. So there are many different disorders affect different specific areas of the nervous system. So I hope that helps a little bit.
Okay, so to answer Harriet's question, how is the exclusion made?
It's for someone who is trained to recognize the disorders, a neurologist, by physically examining somebody, by looking at the MRI results and other test results, you can make a clear distinction among those three disorders.
Harriet, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay, bye. Let's go to, let's see here. Who is that? Corey?
Yes.
Corey?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, so sorry. It's my eyes, I tell you. Okay. Go ahead, Corey.
This is a question about neurological pain and Lyme disease. I was listening, and I heard the young woman who had acute pain running up and down her hips. I had Lyme, and it ran, the pain was incredible. It was like being tortured, and it ran up and down my left side, only around my shoulder blade. I have a friend who also has it now, and she has a right leg that won't move. So yet my husband, who had Lyme, had 104-degree fever and no other symptoms. So I'd like to ask the doctor what the relationship is between Lyme and this kind of pain, and is it misdiagnosed sometimes, or this is a general question. I don't know.
Well, let's look at it a different way. Lyme disease can affect different parts of the body in different people, so then it's not always the same. And Lyme disease, named after Old Lyme, Connecticut, was originally thought to be a problem with the disease affecting joints. But actually, in Stony Brook, where Dr. Chartok said earlier I trained, was the center where we learned that Lyme disease, many years ago we learned this, affects the nervous system even more often. And so the combination of affecting joints and affecting the nervous system, causing neuropathy, Bell's palsy, facial palsy, and meningitis and a combination of other conditions can result in significant pain. So yes, Lyme disease can be associated with various neurological problems and chronic pain. And it should be, it is possible to do blood tests. Sometimes we have to look at the spinal fluid through lumbar puncture, which is another word for spinal tap, to see if someone has active Lyme disease. But it's not the same for each person. So you may see Lyme disease, as you mentioned, in your husband, affect him differently than it may have affected somebody else who's also had Lyme disease. We all have different immune systems and different ways in which diseases affect us.
Thank you. That's my experience, too. It's totally different in each person, but it is often excruciating. And I just wanted to offer that to all the people who have mysterious pain and who may not sometimes have their physicians think of checking for Lyme.
Okay,
so that was just my intent.
Thank you very much for that. Very helpful. I appreciate it. Bye.
Okay.
Let's go to Pamela in Clifton Park. Pamela, you're on.
Hi, doctor. Thank you for taking my call. I have had fibromyalgia for about 8 years now, and I guess my question is twofold. One is, what is your general feeling on pain management with fibromyalgia? And the other part is, why is fibromyalgia treated by rheumatologists and not by neurologists, when to me it seems it's an obvious neurological disorder and doesn't have much to do with rheumatology?
So Pamela, I couldn't agree with you more that fibromyalgia is, in fact, a neurological disorder, and I cannot for the life of me understand why it's treated by rheumatologists when, in fact,
thank you.
and in fact, all I can tell you at this point is we are in the midst of doing two very, very thrilling, from a scientific point of view, studies at Albany Medical Center looking at mechanisms of fibromyalgia and also how we can better treat the fibromyalgia. And
so
we,
you believe it exists. That's heartening in and of itself.
Not only do I believe it exists, our research group at Albany Medical Center just sent off a manuscript for review regarding that. So
wonderful.
So if we can help in any way, you know, please let us know. But there is abundant evidence, and we have even newer evidence that fibromyalgia is in fact a condition affecting the nervous system.
Pamela. Well, it so obviously is if you have it.
Well, you know, sometimes we learned a long time ago, and all the best physicians and sages tell
listen
you
to the patient.
Listen to the Alan said that. Listen to the patient. That's how you learn how to take care of somebody.
Hey, Pamela, we got to let you go. Thanks a lot. Okay, let's go to Mike in Clifton Park. Mike, you're on.
Yeah, hi, guys. Thanks for the program. I started listening in the middle or toward the end of a caller, a few callers back, named, I think, Rebecca, who had pain in her hips and just on one side, and I didn't catch the whole conversation.
Rebecca from Greenwich.
Okay. Hope she's still listening. I just wanted to throw this out there because a few years ago I had an undiagnosed arthritic type problem. I was in just my 40s, and nobody could figure it out. We tested for Lyme, gout, a million different things, and all they knew was my inflammation, the SEDS rate or whatever, was just sky high. And I finally kind of self-diagnosed just going on the net, and I found this thing I'd never heard of called psoriatic arthritis, as in psoriasis. I don't really have the skin disease. I've got a couple little patches, but eventually they did agree that that's what I had. And it got worse and worse, and it would come and go. It was like waking up every day wondering which wrist is going to work, which shoulder, which knee. It was pretty terrible, to the point where I couldn't even go to work because I couldn't operate the clutch some days, but other days it would go away. So it was really mysterious, and I had no swelling of any kind. But I finally saw someone and was put on Enbrel. The two products then were Enbrel and Humira, and within a week I could walk again. So I don't know if that's what she might have or if anybody else has symptoms that seemed to come and go. It literally, it was like bursitis. It would lock up where I couldn't move.
But Mike, if I may interrupt for one second. Yep. So we know that chemicals in our body called cytokines, which are inflammatory chemicals, are produced in excessive amounts in conditions like psoriatic arthritis. And one of them, TNF-alpha is the name of it, is inhibited by Enbrel and Humira. So that's great.
Okay.
But you also know, and I'm sure you were told, that those medicines can also have terrible side effects, including the development of cancer, lymphoma, and terrible infections.
Yes.
So
yes.
Right.
Gotta
so
be aware of that.
So we have to be very, very careful in making sure that people are treated appropriately, because many of the treatments have very serious side effects. So I just want to make that point, because safety is very, very important in treatment.
Okay, I was wondering if anybody's really baffled. Is something maybe to look into, because I had never heard of it before then.
Mike, thank you very much. I'm trying to get everybody in. Thanks again.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, take care. Thank you.
Right. Jim and Troy. Jim and Troy, let's go.
Hi, I've got nerve damage from shingles, and I've had it shingles about 6 months ago, and my doctor said something to the effect that I may have to deal with this forever. So my question is, can nerves heal?
Generally speaking, Jim, there is treatment available to help reduce the pain from shingles if you've had it for 6 months. That's a condition known as postherpetic neuralgia. But it's impossible to predict that the pain will go away completely. And in fact, more often than not, if you still have it at 6 months, some degree of pain will continue. The good news is that there are many treatments available to you, and you should not be told by anybody that there isn't anything to do for you. There are many treatments available to try to help you.
I'm taking Oxycontin and Cymbalta at the moment.
Those need Let me just say, in this setting, sir, all I can tell you is that those do not appear to be the ideal treatment for post-herpetic neuralgia.
I see. So should I see somebody over at your pain center?
We'd be happy to see people with your condition, and we welcome the opportunity to try to help you.
Okay, so there is there are other things that I could be doing.
Yes, sir.
You want to take very quickly because we got 26 seconds. What could you do?
Oh, I mean, I don't know what your physician has tried for you, but there are medicines to put directly, patches to put right on your skin over where your shingles has been to help reduce the pain, and there are various approaches to that. There are more, and I think we're out of time. I'm sorry.
We're out of time. Jim, that's the music. Thank you very much for calling. Rick from Rosendale, I'm so sorry. We are out of time. You were the last one. If we gotten you in, it would have all been fine, but alas, it didn't happen. I want to thank everyone who called in. Your calls were great today, and apologize to those one guy left on the line. I'd also like to thank our wonderful friend, Dr. Charles Argoff, for joining us. Again, thanks for joining us. Support for the Medical Monday comes from the Hospitals of HealthQuest and HealthQuest Medical Practice. Physicians offering primary and specialty health care in private office settings throughout the Hudson Valley. Health-quest.org for locations. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Paul Wildfear. Our producer is Patrick Dungis. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.